1 Samuel chapter 21. I'll be watching your time this morning. There is a fellowship potluck after all. I'm fully aware of what time it is. There's a clock right in front of me. So let me take care of the time. Just focus on the Word of God this morning. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 21. If you don't have a Bible, please, if you could sit right next to one that has one. If you have a Bible, please share with someone who may not have one. 1 Samuel chapter 21. You're reading from verses 3 to verse 6. And we'll jump over to the New Testament. Then I'll ask Brother Mac to lift up his voice for God to bless this message. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Once you're there, say amen. Verse 3, the Bible says, "Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women." And David answered the priest and said unto him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. The indication that we're getting close to the end of our message will be Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I know many of you know this verse. Philippians 4, 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." For those that are joining us for the first time here at Chula Vista Baptist Church, I preach from the book. I go from book to book, chapter to chapter, and verse by verse, and we just allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us. We've reached the point in the book of 1 Samuel. Last Sunday, we've learned how David had reached a point in his life, in his life when everyone had given up on him. He felt that he was all alone. He felt that there was no one else there with him. He finds his way into the city of Nob, which was the city of a priest. And then there was a man by the name of Ahimelech. He was the priest there. He comes to Ahimelech, and we learned last Sunday that David, he was so desperate that he even lied to the priest about his condition. That's where we left off last Sunday. Today we begin with verse 3. So David here begins to ask Ahimelech the priest if he had anything that he could eat. Notice in verse 3 he says, "What is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what is there present?" Right off the bat, I am reminded of a text in the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6, you may remember the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You see, here is another manifestation that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the revelation of the Old Testament. Notice in John chapter 6, a very famous story of when Jesus Christ feeds the thousands of people that were present there. Let's begin with verse 9. John chapter 6, verse 9, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then remember how they begin to ask, "But what are they among so many?" How many of you remember this story? When Jesus Christ miraculously fed the thousands out of 2 small fishes and 5 loaves of bread. 5 loaves of bread. Let's go down to verse 4 now. I just want you to keep that in mind. Keep that text of John chapter 6, as we'll go back to that later. Let's go back to verse 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 21. So David asked Ahimelech, well, what do you have that I could eat? And Ahimelech says, well, I do have 5 loaves of bread. The only problem, David, is this. Look at verse 4. The priest answered David and said, I don't have any common bread, but there is a hallowed bread. He says, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. Now, to understand this text, I may have to turn you back to Exodus. This thing called hallowed bread, it's the significance of this. It goes back to the book of Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, beginning with verse 23. You see, at the temple where God met with Israel, there were certain things inside a temple that was required of God, and one of them is this table where the hallowed bread was to be found. Exodus chapter 25, I want you to pay close attention. Exodus chapter 25, beginning with verse 23. God had given the commandment to the priest of Israel that they were supposed to build this tabernacle in a very specific manner. He says, thou shalt make also a shittim wood, 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit breadth thereof. It's very specific. He gives the priest the dimensions of the table, only for what purpose? Lie down to verse 30. Exodus chapter 25, verse 30. And on this elaborate table made of shittim wood and acacia tree, which is overladen with gold, the whole purpose of that table was so that there would be a place for the table showbread, which was to be replenished week after week. Go to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 to 9. Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 to 9. If you've never been in a church that turns into the Bible, welcome to Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Amen. By the time, if you've been here with us a month after month, you would know your Bible. I make you a turn and read your Bible. Because the authority, I believe, is not the preacher, it's not the man behind the pulpit, but the authority in the Christian life is always the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 to 9. So God commanded the nation of Israel to make this table inside the tabernacle. And on top of that table, notice the elaborate ingredients of how this bread, this showbread, was to be made. Look at verse 5. It says, and thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And the purpose of that is that each of the tribes of Israel was to be represented by one bread. So they set up 2 rows of these bread by 6. And in verse 8 it says, every Sabbath ye shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be, notice, to whom does this bread belong? Who is it for? It says, it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. So you understand what's going on here is that when David enters this temple where he meets Ahimelech, the only bread that Ahimelech had was this bread that was a showbread that was supposed to be eaten only by priests. And there was a very elaborate preparation and sanctification that had to be done in order to present this bread to the living God. Look at verse 5. Oh, first of all, in verse 4, it says that, but there is hallowed bread if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. Let me explain. See, in order for the priests that are serving inside the temple, in order for them to be sanctified, those of them that were married were not allowed to sleep with their wives at home for 3 days. I want those of you that are married, I want you to imagine it for a second. If you were a priest and your job was to present this showbread inside a temple, you are not allowed to go home to sleep with your wife for at least 3 days. Okay, look at verse 5. David answered the priest and said unto him, I'm back in 1 Samuel chapter 21. I want you to hang in there. I want you to understand the text first before we start making an application. Verse 5. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. And notice, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common. I mean, there's really nothing special about the bread. It's just an unleavened bread. It's a common bread. But yet, this common bread, it says, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So not only were the servants kept pure and clean, but the serving plates had to be clean and sanctified. Kind of like when we have our Lord's Supper. I mean, can you imagine coming to a church to be a part of the Lord's Supper, and then as the Lord's Supper that vessel begins to be distributed, you begin to see mold growing on that plate, and you're gonna say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to excuse myself from partaking in the Lord's Supper. That bread looks filthy. You understand what's going on here? But what's going on here, back then, oh no, everything had to be clean. The people, the priests that had the job of distributing the bread, of keeping that showbread, had to be sanctified. It had to be clean. Look at verse 6 now of our text. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken. So week after week, they would have to replenish that table with freshly baked unleavened bread. So let's backtrack for a second. Here's what's going on here. Here is David. He had reached the point in his life when he was a vagabond and King Saul was running after him, wanting to murder him. He finds himself inside the city of priests, by the name of Nob. He finds himself in the temple communing or talking to the priest by the name of Ahimelech. He asked for something to eat, and yet the only bread that was available was hallowed bread that he was not supposed to eat because he was not a priest. Here's the message for this morning. First, when David reached the point in his life when he felt abandoned, targeted and wanted, hopeless, that he even tried to deceive God's servant, what was present there in the house of God is the showbread. The point is this. Know, first of all, that when you decide to follow Jesus Christ, there will be many times that you will feel abandoned, even targeted, wanted, and yes, hopeless. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 35 to 37, he said, I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, he said, he warned the apostles and the disciples, he said, ye shall be hated for all men, of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Christian, when you decided to follow Jesus Christ, first of all, know that there will be times in your life when you will feel abandoned. You will feel that you're being targeted. You will feel that you were wanted. You will feel that you're hopeless. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, imagine testimony of the Apostle Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen. The point is, when you decide to follow Jesus Christ, I tell you, you are going to be alone. You're going to be alone in the workplace. If you decide to stand up for God, if you decide to believe in what it is that you believe, I tell you, don't expect that everyone will cling on to you. Don't expect that everyone will like you, will accept you. Oh no, when you decide to follow Jesus Christ, know that there will be times when you will feel like you're all alone. Amen? But secondly, know that when you decide to follow Christ, there will always be a place of refuge in the house of God. Amen. There will always be a house of refuge in the house of God. David, when he was starting to feel alone, when he was a vagabond, he found refuge in the house of God. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. You see, I still believe in the importance of the local church. Many Christians today who claim to be Christians, they say, well, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God in my own home. I can worship God anywhere I want. Oh no, I tell you, you are bound to fail, and you are going to be persecuted, and you will not know what to do. You will fail in your Christian life the moment you cease coming to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I tell you, gotta keep coming to church. Amen. Amen? You have to stay in the fellowship. Go to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. For those of you that are in the military service where you tend to get transferred out and deployed a lot, or maybe you're in a profession that requires you to travel a lot. Anywhere you go, you have to find a Bible-believing and a Bible-preaching church fellowship. You've got to stay plugged in. You have to stay plugged in. That's the key to achieving success in the Christian life. Go to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Do you know what the early Christians did? What they had to do in the midst of persecution? Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now we're turn to the book of Acts chapter 11, verse 26. This is when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, what did the early Christians do? They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Sadly, there's a growing trend of a sect today, of a type of a Christian. It's called the house church movement. They say, well, we no longer need to come to a local church. We can just worship God in our own wherever. And then they like to claim the verse that says, well, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Which is true. But I tell you, I guarantee you, the moment you stop coming and moving away from a Christian fellowship, your Christianity will fail. Your Christianity will fail. You got to stay plugged in. Go to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit, more fruit. But I want you to notice verse 4. What did Jesus Christ say? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I want you to notice that phrase, for, say it out loud with me. Without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, here's the second promise. He says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What a promise. Verse 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I tell you, the happiest place on earth for the Christian is not Disneyland. Amen? They say the happiest place on earth. Oh no, the happiest place on earth for the Christian, especially for those of you that stood up and God brought you back after being away from God for a while, the happiest place for you is this place. Amen? Amen. Amen. Secondly, the showbread reminded David of its cost. You know, it cost a sacrifice from the 12 tribes, the people who gave it. It cost sanctification from the young man who brought the bread in fresh week after week. Notice in verses 4 and 5 of our text that the young man have kept themselves. In verse 5, they were sanctified this day in the vessel. You know, that showbread, first of all, it ought to remind us of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to John chapter 6 now. The showbread ought to remind us of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, I told you not to lose that text. John chapter 6. You see that showbread in the Old Testament pointed to the bread of life. In verse 26, the Bible says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Oh boy, if you slide down to verse 35, at the end of the day, at the end of that conversation, you know what he says? Jesus said unto them, in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We ought to remember this Thanksgiving. We ought to remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, we are commanded as a church, as believers, to remember when we partake of the Lord's Supper. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I tell you, we ought to be thankful today for the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ has made. Secondly, that showbread ought to remind us of the sacrifices we have to make as believers. It ought to remind us of the sacrifices we have to make as believers. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You know what the early Christians had to do? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We have to be reminded of the sacrifices we have to make as believers. 1 Corinthians 16 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order, to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. What were the early Christians commanded to do? He says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, if you understand why God was commanding the early church to bring and provide for the church Sunday after Sunday, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. See, the significance of that showbread goes a lot deeper than David eating something that he was not supposed to eat. It was pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ, and it was pointing to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. Notice it says, for we being many are what? One bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Amen? Yeah. And then thirdly, the showbread not only reminded David of the sacrifices of what it took to keep that showbread fresh, but the showbread gave him strength. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. The third point is this. The showbread gave him strength. He was so revived that he was even ready to face Saul. Notice, let's slide down to verse 8. Notice what David does. After he had eaten of that showbread, notice in verse 8. What happens after? David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand? What did he ask next? A spear or a sword? You know why? That David, after he had eaten, he was ready to face his battles. He was ready to face his battles. Now here's the thing. Matthew chapter 12 verses 1 to 4. Last Sunday I was kind of picking on David for eating something that did not belong to him. But you see, had the priest kept the bread from David, what that is would have been nothing but legalism. Go to Matthew chapter 12 verses 1 to 4. Let me show you what I mean. Matthew chapter 12 verses 1 to 4. Was David wrong for eating of that bread, which was supposed to be for the priest? Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 12 verses 1 to 4. At that time, Jesus went on to the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were unhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn. You see what the problem here is? What day was it? Was the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. And they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, are you there in Matthew chapter 12? Notice what Jesus Christ said. Have you not read what David did when he was unhungered and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which were not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but what? But only for the priests. The point is, had the priest kept the bread from David, that is no different from what we call today as legalism. But you see what the problem with Christianity is today? We are so bound by the things that we call... go to Colossians chapter 2 verse 21. Colossians chapter 2 verse 21. Was David wrong for eating of that bread? Here's the problem with Christianity today. Here's the reason why many people would not want to be in fellowship. The reason why many people would not want to be in fellowship with Christians is that we have become so legalistic in our practice. Amen? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. It says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Verse 16, for the sake of time. He says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holiday or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Colossians chapter 2. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Verse 20, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom, in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." My point is this. Sometimes we drive people away from the church because of our legalism. We say, "Well, we can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. That music should not be like that. There's drums in that music that ought not to be played in a Bible-believing fundamental Baptist church." Well, hang in there. Hang on. Are you being spiritual or are you being legalistic? Amen? You understand the difference? And I tell you, many, many people today are driven away from Bible-believing churches. They like the doctrine, but the practices of the modern Baptist church is so bounding that people move away from it. Amen? So David was not wrong for eating of the bread. He did what he had to do to survive. Amen? Here's the thing. The worst thing that you can do to a soldier is not to give him or her the equipment that he needs to get the job done. Imagine? Imagine being a sailor and not being even given a uniform. Imagine being a policeman and you're not allowed to have a gun. Imagine being a firefighter and not having a fire truck or a hose. I'll tell you, the worst thing that you can do to a soldier is to take away or not provide for the things that he needs. The worst thing that you can do to a work animal is to not feed it. Amen? Go to Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13 to 16. "If David had not eaten of that bread and had not taken of that sword, how was he supposed to be the king, the next king of Israel?" Go to Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13 to 16. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13 to 16. Here's a principle from the Word of God. You have to provide things to your servant. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13 to 16. Verse 13 says, "Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong." How does that happen? "That useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. That saith, I will build me a wide house and large chamber." Here's the point. That text right there, King Jehoiakim said, "I am going to build this temple for God's glory." But the way he was building this temple for God's glory, his principle was the end justifies the means. King Jehoiakim was using all of these servants to build the temple of God, but he would not pay those servants. The idea is, well, the end justifies the means. I'm building a temple for God anyway, so the people that are building it, they don't need to get paid. It's just like saying it's election time, right? It's like saying, well, it's okay to cheat during the elections as long as we win for the good of the people. All right, by the way, if you think I'm making that up, it's really happening, right? And then the idea is, well, the end justifies the means. The prophet Jeremiah rebuked him and said, yay, but you're doing it all wrong. You're not providing for your laborers, Jehoiakim. The end does not justify the means. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You seem unconvinced this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. David was not wrong for taking of that bread that did not belong to him, and of that sword for him to keep on doing the work. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 to 14. Look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charge? Are you reading it? Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? You understand the application? David was not in the wrong for eating of that bread. That bread did not belong to the priest. That bread was there for whoever needed it. Amen? But finally, as we come to close, when you reach that point in your Christian life, when all seems to be lost, like Job, when you feel so alone and persecuted like David, just as David drew his strength from that showbread, as Christians, we draw our strength from the bread of life. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. So when you reach that point in your Christian life, when you feel so alone, when you feel like you're on the run, when you feel like people are after you, and you feel so persecuted, and your energy has been drained, your resources are gone, when you've reached that point in your life, draw your strength from Him. He is the showbread. He is the living bread. I like a song when I first got saved. A song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. The title of his song is His Strength is Perfect. In that song he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. I've no great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, He is there to let me know. We can only know the power that He holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we cannot carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Have you been feeling weak as a Christian lately? Have you felt that everyone's after you, that you're all alone? Have you reached that point in your Christian life when you're just about to give up, and you've given up on Christianity, you've given up on your Lord? David returned back into the temple, and in that temple he found refuge and he found the showbread. Oh Christian, this morning, would you be a David? Would you find your way back into His house of worship? And most importantly, would you partake of that showbread and regain your strength? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the piano plays, I don't know how God has spoken to you this morning. I just trust Him. I trust His holy word. I trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that He spoke to someone today. Have you partaken of that showbread? Are you thankful for that showbread? Not the unleavened bread. I'm talking about the bread of life that came down from heaven 2,000 years ago. If you are not saved today, would you partake of that showbread? Maybe you're saved already, but you've been dwindling. You've gotten weaker. You've felt alone in your Christian life. Draw your strength from Him. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Draw your strength from Him. He'll carry you through. He'll strengthen you. He'll empower you. He'll walk by you. He'll lead you. He'll light up the path for you. Just draw yourself to Him. Abide in Him. Just one more verse. The altar is open if you need to come. Maybe you're just feeling thankful this morning. How about you thank Him? Thank Him for all the goodness, for all the good things in your life. Just thank Him.